I'll turn to Matthew chapter 21, please, and we look at Matthew chapter 21 today. Those of you that travel to a lot of churches, that's a whole lot better than hearing, "Well, we ain't practiced, y'all pray first," you know, and all that stuff. And never heard that before, have you, huh? Used to hear it all the time. Finally, I just started preaching against it so we wouldn't do it no more. Tell you what, Matthew chapter 21, as we've started looking at this chapter, Jesus reaches Jerusalem here. The key verse we read last week of the chapter is verse 8, where it said, "A very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. They were glad to see the king coming." And we saw his arrival there. And now we get to the part which shows his anger, verses 12 through 16, where we're going to read today. There's 46 verses, 1,126 words in this chapter, all inspired by God and preserved forever in our King James Bible. And as we look down at verse 12, the Bible says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, Thou hast perfected praise." I want to preach to you this morning on when Jesus came to church. When Jesus came to church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive. God, what an honor it is to be here amongst these great people today, Lord God, and the folks here of our church, the great folks we have here. And Lord, what a blessing it is to be here, Lord, knowing you're here. And we pray, God, that you'll help us today with our understanding of your word, according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We pray for your understanding. Talk to us by your Spirit. Help me by the same Spirit to preach the word, minced in season, out of season, and reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Lord, we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Amen. As we look in this chapter, people say that they want the Lord. But do you really want the Lord? That's a question only you can answer. If you're forced to answer it, you'll lie. Let me ask you again, do you really want the Lord? Secondly, by thinking about that, the Lord's presence can be here in a manifested way, not just essential, but a manifested way. Do you really want that? No. Some folks, you go in places, and the men think it's, if you cry, you're not a man. And the women put enough Bondo on their face, they're praying you don't say something that'll make them cry. Oh. I listen, I'm for, you know, painting any old barn up, but let's not get too bad with it, okay? Just for the record, I ain't got nothing against makeup, but if you got more makeup than the circus clowns do, you in the wrong place. You need to be in front of a mirror figuring that thing out. I don't know what all your makeup's called, I just know it's got little brushes and stuff, but some of them using squeeze tubes on it now and they're flattening it out there. Of course, you know how it is. But there are some actions Jesus took when he came to church. There wasn't a church by this time. It's a synagogue or temple, obviously, we're going into. But I want to make application to our modern-day churches where we're at and where we go in and out three times a week and study the Word of God and have worship services and things. And as we look at these actions, number one, if you look down verse 12, here's the first action. He removes the sellers. And that's not family name sellers. He's the sellers. People buying and selling, it says. Because he says there, Jesus went to the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. But let me get this in the modern vernacular so you'll understand it. I'm going to give you what it says in the Greek. It said they're selling cheap 25-cent tithes for $50 a piece. Unto God. Listen, I've seen missionaries bring stuff into sale, and I'm wondering if they're trying to be car salesmen or missionaries. Are you looking for God's support, or are you looking to shuck and jive on your way on deputation? No. That's the thing you got to think about. I look at this stuff. I remember when I was a kid, I was forced by my grandparents to go to church and everything. But the worst part about it was we had to watch church full time. And it was only Jimmy Swaggart and Oral Roberts on TV, and Oral Roberts was selling pins, just like these Victory Baptist pins, for $25 love offerings. When I became pastor of this church, I found out we was getting mail all the time for different things, pens, bookmarkers, whatever, you know. And I found out the cost of this pen. I think we've got 15 cent or 25 cent in it, and we give these things away. But if you want to give a $50 love offer, don't give it to Oral Roberts. You give it here, you understand? But at the same time, I preached on this stuff for years, and I find it odd to go in a church and everything's for sale. Jesus threw that crowd out as soon as he showed up. And it didn't say he just got the settlers. He got them at bought, too. What were they doing? They're buying their way into heaven. And I noticed he even got them to have the seats of them that sold the doves. And the doves never left the place. They were fluttering on the top of the thing while the other guy was being thrown out the door. And I got to think about him removing these sellers. And why do Christian people stay in a church where the Lord is not welcome? Number one, they're clinging to buildings. We sold dog food and canned food and went around selling chocolate door to door to get the money for this building. Well, you built it wrong already. God didn't say, thou shalt raise up unto me a temple that will glorify me. That was Old Testament. He says, you shall start a church over here. And the church don't have to have $10,000 in stained glass windows to make it a church. It takes three things. You, somebody else, and Jesus Christ to have a great church. I've seen people, they'll get into a building program, and as soon as they get into the thing, the pastor leaves. He's already accomplished what he wants to do is to build a building. It goes great on your resume. Well, when I was at Sussex Church, we went from a 100-seat auditorium to 1,000. They never tell us just 30 people there on Sunday night, even in the 1,000-seat building. And they've had to cut off Sunday night service because they can't afford the air conditioner or the heat to keep the thing going. And they're having service back in that old chapel where they started from. I had the privilege of hearing one of these Sword of the Lord preachers preach, and I was in his church there, and he made a statement I've never forgot. He said, when we was down in that little building down there, he said, people's getting saved left and right. He said, now we got up here, they're joining left and right. I thought, man, I bet that won't be printed in that Sword of the Lord. The guy's name was Bobby Robertson, by the way. He's in heaven now. I watched him say that, and I thought, and you could see the brethren just, if I'd been here, I'd say, it ain't prayer time, boys. Look back up here, you know. But I see a lot of that stuff going on. We'll build a building. That'll attach a family to a building. If the preacher goes liberal and goes completely out of the Bible, they'll stay there because we built this. I'm like Clint Eastwood. You did not build this. And then you have some guy get up in some fellowship meeting, and some of you guys been there before, and they pastor a church of 1,000 members that they didn't build. They inherited from somebody and rail on you for having a little church. I love preaching behind them because I get to tell them, Clint Eastwood said, you didn't build this. He's quoting a movie character. You want me to quote another one? I mean, Clint's pretty tough, but I'll quote John Wayne here in a minute. I'll try to remember that if you don't let me forget. But they're clinging to buildings, and they're clinging to history that's going on. Like, I got married in that building. I'm not leaving it. I got married there. Well, that's all fine and good, but your oath wasn't to a building, by the way. It was that person standing in front of you up there. Take their hand, look at each other's eyes. Do you? Yes, do you? Yes, we're done. I mean, listen, you don't even remember what you said that day, but you're hanging on to a building, you're hanging on to a marriage ceremony, or maybe you're just hanging on to pride. Well, we donated this and we donated that. You know what? There was two great turnarounds in this church, or three. I'll say three. Number one, the day we wrote and apologized to the church this church came out of and said, we'll close down if you want us to. Everybody signed it. The pastor that actually led me to the Lord was the guy. He said, keep on going for Jesus. He said, we're not in a competition. I said, I didn't feel like we were, but I want to do right. If you had read the minutes of the meeting of the crowd that come out, everything they're doing is show the crowd up the road. They're no longer with us. God killed every one of them. I watched it over the years. Saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. Number two thing, we pulled out of the Southern Baptist Convention, and we are still independent, fundamental, King James only Baptist, and only King James Baptist, and I am not ashamed to tell that, and there's very few of us around, but I won by conviction and not by convenience, by the way. We didn't get out to get back in either, ain't right? Listen, I ain't rubbing elbows with them trying to sneak back in. When I came out, it ain't gotten better, by the way. It's actually gotten worse. I only cited two reasons we came out, but I had 100 women preachers in the King James Bible.
Amen.
They as for one and again the other, we as again one and for the other. That has not changed.
Amen.
Well, we've taken steps to ensure in our local. You ain't done nothing. You ain't fired the first one.
Right. Amen.
And when Beth Moore becomes your president, I'll be the one saying, I told you so.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that'll never happen. You keep apologizing for slavery every year, and y'all didn't own slaves. You said that wasn't going to happen either. But yet it did.
Yeah.
We got people clinging to graveyards. Now, that's ghoulish, man. Well, we grandma's buried out there. Grandma wants to leave too, by the way. The minute they started reading out of the NIV, grandma wanted to leave. The minute they started saying that shouldn't be in the Bible, grandma wanted to leave. Why don't you help her out? They can do that, you know. Listen, I found out, listen to this, you could be transferred where you're buried to another place. If it meant that much to me, I'd take her with me. They'll take vault and all.
Yep.
If you don't believe me, you watch some of these flatbed trucks. Old Turkey be hauling one every once in a while. It's got dirt on it. They took it from somewhere. We're going to put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
How about that? Hanging on to a graveyard. Boy, that's a Christian thing right there. It's like hanging on to Halloween.
Uh-huh.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I ain't going to get you pets. Then I'll wait the next week and all these visitors ain't here. But Christians people can leave. Listen, why do Christian people leave a church where the Lord is not welcome? Well, according to what you just read, he had to throw them all out. He had to run the people out too. So why? He's getting a fresh start in there for what he's wanting to do. And I noticed something, that he not only removes the sellers, but in the second action, look, if you hold the space here, turn to John chapter 2, parallel passage of this one, John chapter 2, he not only threw them that sold out, he got the sellers, but he removed somebody else. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, if you look down to verse 15, parallel passage this one, it says, when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep, and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Did you see where he run the sheep out? He not only removes the sellers, he removes the sheep. In this instance, it'd be saved people he has to run out of a church sometimes. And the reason being, they're so stuck to buildings, history, pride, and graveyards, he can't get them out no other way, so he's got to drive them out. Sheep are not meant to be driven, they're meant to be led. But when they've got so much in front of them and the leader they can't see, don't worry, he'll come behind and push them right out where they need to be. A lot of times he uses a sheepdog to do that thing with. Those are the most amazingly trained animals in the world. They know exactly how to keep 5, 6, or 500 in line if need be, and they'll get them all going the same way. And a lot of times, them dogs have to bite them on the leg to get them moving. And I've seen people sit in churches where they've lost their Bible, they've lost their blessings, and all they focus about is not tithing and how they can raise money to cover that up and all this. So the Lord comes along and he drives out the sheep. He drove them all out, it says. And when he drove them all out, there is no conviction from the Spirit of God because no one has moved to change the things that are wrong. There was a church I preached in, and before I got to preach, they had 30 minutes of announcements about an upcoming fundraiser for this, a youth fundraiser to go fornicate at the beach, and all this other stuff they kept trying to get together. But there's one thing that's missing. They passed around the plates, and I got a missionary's ear and a pastor's heart. I could tell there's only been 3 people giving that plate. So I did them a favor. I poured all of it out on the floor and started to preach. And I preached on how God can take care of you. God can. There's only 2 requirements God makes, tithes and offerings, and he'll take it from there. There was a guy, he is an old preacher, he told me this story. He said, we had a pancake supper. He said, I was against all that stuff, but I put on a pancake apron, and I was going to try to help out and all this other stuff. He said, I got through that thing all day long. We needed $2,000. We had barely 100 when we got done. I had stuff all over me, stuff all over my tie. He said, I went out there and he said, Lord, I'm sorry we didn't get that done. About that time he gets a phone call, a guy that didn't even see just having a sale, come by and said, Lord told me to leave this for you, check for $5,000. Up and above beyond what they were trying to raise. So what would have happened if he had went to the house and just sat there and waited on it would come anyway? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you don't teach people to do this, they'll cling on to everything. And what people have done, they're not moved to change the things that are wrong. How many times have you and I been in a place where you see some of the God-awfulest things go on? Ain't nobody going to say nothing about it. They're going to start making excuses before it happens because they know it's wrong too. But they will not change it. I see a lot of people at these churches, they're saying, well, we so conservative. There's a church right across town. Preacher says he's conservative, but he went to Florida to see a sodomite wedding and be part of it. Because he knows there's no way he'd get away with it up here, so they went down there. But don't worry, it's coming this way. Listen, all the churches in California are to be closed according to their governor, but if there's a sodomite wedding fixing to open up somewhere, they'll let one do that one. You watch. They'll see like this and say, no social distancing, no mask on, oh my. But they'll see a crowd sitting elbow to elbow at a place like that for a sodomite wedding and be completely okay with it. Listen, they won't change what's wrong even though they know it's wrong. The problem is there's no conviction. God's not working on the people. They can't see it. They don't have a Bible. Nobody's moved to do the things right. And there's no correction coming from the Scripture because the Scripture's carefully organized to get to you and help you. And these lace drawer wearing preachers are going to preach around you, not to you or for you. Well, I used to feed hogs, and you can't throw the food at them. Shut up. You hate preaching. That's why you even saying that.
Yeah.
I sat down there at Sammy Adams when the guy got up and made an excuse. The guy just got through preaching 30 minutes. Got up and talking, well, I didn't throw the biscuits at the hogs. I noticed the night before they had the youth choir sing for 3 hours and took up $1,000. 30-minute message on the new part. Guess what? They took up $10,000. And they done everything they could. They run and kick buckets and everything else. One message. Like that. That's the earliest I've ever got out of that place. True story. Some of y'all laughing because you know. He takes the sheep out. There's no correction from the Scriptures. They'll dance around it. We was talking about how somebody can preach through 52 chapters of Jeremiah and never mention the word sin and call it an exposition of the Holy Word.
Oh, Lord.
Wonder why Lamentations was wrote. Because they didn't get the word sin in 52 chapters. Now they're crying because everything happened he said was going to happen.
Right.
And I noticed this. There's no message of rebuke in the church anymore. I want to be an encouragement and a blessing and a help to you. No, you're supposed to wear us out.
Right.
If we want encouragement and all that, we'd go see a psychiatrist. You ain't trying to be one of them, are you? If you are, I'm going to tell you something. You're getting cheated on your wages. I think what we got now is we got too many amateur psychiatrists in the pulpit trying to be an encouragement when they're supposed to be rebuking what's in front of them. There's going to come a time when they're going to regret it. You know what day that is? That's the day Jesus comes to church. We say we want him, but when he shows up, do you really want him? We ain't going to be falling backwards, we're going to be falling forwards. I noticed that he removes... Literally takes the sheep out of the way over here. If you go back to Matthew chapter 21, he's taking the sheep out. He takes out the sellers, as we read. But he does something else, an action that we don't see coming here. And that's this. He leaves the Spirit. And by saying that, we saw the doves didn't leave the building. The dove in the Bible is always usually a picture of the Holy Ghost of God. And there are three ways the Holy Ghost is taught in the Bible. First one is what you would say is the essential presence of God, where 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord, and it says, run to and fro throughout the whole earth. God sees everything. That's the essential presence. Then there's the manifest presence of God, where he says in John 15:22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. That's where God manifests himself sometimes. Even when you got that liberal preacher, God still kind of shows up and shows you, here's the problem.
Right. Yeah.
Now, those are two types. But the one that we don't want, and I say we because we don't want this, is the cultivated presence of the Spirit of God. That's being filled with the Spirit. Now, there's two ways you can be filled with the Spirit. One of them's wrong. Okay? Number one, this is the wrong one, is to start jabbering like a monkey and swinging from the chandeliers and rolling in the floor.
Yeah.
That is not the Spirit of God.
Come on.
Say, do you believe in talking tongues? I did when it was in the Bible.
Come on.
I don't now because I know why I'm not now. I've had to fight this stuff over the years. Listen, there's some rules to that thing, and no church in this town follows the rules. Number one, there has to be a speaker that does not know what he's saying. And it's got to be an intelligible language. All right, mine would be Russian or something. I don't know what Russian words are, but if I started speaking in Russian, there'd have to be somebody here that would be the interpreter of that thing that neither knew that language either, but knew what they were saying.
Right.
The third person there's got to be a Jew.
Yeah.
And the message from the original part's got to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how we know that's fake.
Yep.
Holy Bama Shiva da ba da da. Shut up. You want people to think you spiritual.
Yeah, that's it.
Won't you be a good Christian, read your Bible and pray and love God.
Right.
And get filled with the Holy Ghost then.
Yep.
That's the wrong way to do it. They say, well, if you're talking to us, that's it. No, that ain't it. And it ended when this book was printed, finished, and said amen at the back of Revelation 22.
Right.
How do I know that? Well, that which is perfect has come. Listen, the charismatics come up and say, now wait a minute, that's Paul's opinion. And plus, you know, Jesus come, he's already come. Jesus is the only thing perfect. This book is righteous. It says Jesus Christ is righteous and it's righteous. And 164 more things it says about Jesus, it says about itself. But wait a minute. He said, when, as it's not happened yet, that which is perfect has come, Jesus had already showed up and went back to heaven.
Right.
So it was talking about something else. Of that which is perfect. If you don't have a perfect Bible, you're in a mess already.
Right.
Hey, you know Jesus is coming back. This book ain't right. How about that? How do you know you'll stay saved if you don't have a contract with God? Psalm 138, verse 2, he puts this word above his name. We can kind of depend on it, right?
Yeah, right.
So here's the second way to get filled with God the right way. Take in this book, memorize it, meditate on it, and let God teach you some things and say, and ask Him to be filled with the Spirit, because you get filled with the Scripture, you'll get filled with the Spirit. You won't have a, well, I'm discerning that there's somebody in this crowd. No, you'll preach to that crowd and God will discern them. And the book will go taking care of people we can't take care of. Manifest presence of God. And be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I think we've got too many of them trying to figure out how they'd be drunk with wine instead of trying to figure out how they'd be filled with the Spirit. It just seems like it to me that we're trying way too much to get that, not get the right thing. And by the way, in case you was wondering, if you've read John chapter 2 and you think Jesus drunk wine over there, you're a reprobate. All the heretics teach that Jesus turned the water into Boone's Farm and Budweiser. There wasn't no wine in that. Listen, if you can turn the water into wine like Jesus, you can fill this baptistry up and I'll drink the whole thing. Give you time to draw a crowd. So why would you do that? Because it wouldn't be alcoholic. And I'm looking at this thing about he leaves the Spirit of God there. His essential presence serves as a testimony, according to verse 15-16. It says, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Why were they mad? He just cut into the prophet's prophet. It says, and he said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto him, yea, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. You know all this? Well, some of that's fairy tale, some of that's opinion. They quoted the psalmist. Psalm 8, verse 2. What's he talking about? Exactly what he said. Have you never read? He challenged them on something that they could not understand. That was the very scriptures that he wrote.
Yeah.
Have you never read? Well, of course they hadn't. They were figuring out how to get the widow's money and how to get all this money out of people. They were figuring out how they could have things that would make them look good and all this other stuff. They all gave each other honorary doctorates because they couldn't earn one. I think it's crazy that I heard this one missionary, I heard him preach, and he preached for 2 hours and said absolutely nothing. 2 hours. I heard him the next night, he preached 2 more hours and said literally nothing. He'd start off with a great title, a great verse of scripture, and never come back to it, and both nights, women should not wear breeches, they should wear dresses, and they should be all the way down the floor. They should keep their hair in a bun, and thou shalt not wear makeup. By the time he ended doing that for 2 hours, I thought to myself, what's the men supposed to wear? Because he never told us that. And by the way, he never told us in the Bible where all the other stuff was either. But he had doctor on his name. That means he had to go to college and graduate 4 times. Great title, great verse of scripture, and off the script. I'll never come back to it. Frothing at the mouth stuff. Some of you like that kind of stuff, don't you? I don't, and I'm going to tell you why. That ain't the message. The message is here, not here. The message, listen, the message don't come out here. It comes out here. And if that's all you sit around trying to tell women how to dress, I know what you got on your mind all the time. I know what that is. And I know this, I am all for biblical standards. If it looks good covered up, if it don't look good covered up, you'll cover everything up right there with that one little thing right there. But the biggest problem, I got to the side, I said, where'd you go to school at? Oh, I never went to school. Who gave you the doctorate? Well, God gave it to me to give me some legitimacy. I promise you, brother, he said that. And I'm sitting there looking at him like he had 2 heads. One course in homiletics generally helps a good preacher out. He never had one. Well, now, wait a minute, preacher. You don't got to go to school to be a preacher. No, you go to school to learn how to study. That's what all of them told me. If you learn how to study, you'll bring it out. But if all you do is listen to a bunch of morons, you're going to sound like one. And when one moron gives another moron a doctorate degree, he's not a doctor of theology. He's a doctor of moron. And my apologies to any morons out there. I hate they're associated with you. But, you know, when people say stuff like that, how many of y'all got a family doctor? It ain't sin to have one. Raise your hand if you got one. It's okay. If you go to your family doctor, and he says, listen, I got to perform a hemorrhoidectomy on you. And I'm going to do it here in a minute. And you noticed on the way in the door, there was nothing there from DHEC saying that man could have a license to be a doctor. You pass by his office, and there's nothing on the wall. No places where he went to, like, Duke University or somewhere to teach you how to do that stuff. And he says, come on in, we're going to do this. And you sit down there, and you're feeling uneasy, and he says this. Here's a bottle of Jack Daniels. That's my painkiller. You drink that, and hold on, we're going to get him. Well, you'd get up and run out there as fast as you could. But yet you want a preacher to be a moron like that. You say he's filled with the Spirit. I say he's not. He's not filled with this book. I had somebody tell me one time, they said, if you'll study the passage of Scripture you're going to preach on all week, you'll know what it's supposed to say and know what to say about it, because God will give you the unction from that which you've already got. You know why people get up here and say, well, I just feel like the Lord's got somebody else to say something for the Lord. 55 minutes later, cutting off 5 to 12 on the spot, Lord, I want y'all to pray for me. I got a big toe that's hurting right here, and I can't hardly get around. And if it's testimonies, it's not prayer requests. Get that. And the testimonies ain't going to be how you had one bean and God turned it into 2 beans. It's going to be God turned it into a steak if it's a testimony. Yeah. Amen. I mean, we're talking miracles now. We're going to say, listen, we're going to say this very plainly so you'll understand. This is what all of us believe right here. There's a reason why we don't watch TV preachers. We know we're getting our chain pulled. I hope you're not getting it pulled here in the house of God. Because one day Jesus is coming to church. He's going to throw out the money changers first. But the very fact that he's got to run these people out, and when he says, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? His essential presence serves as a testimony against those that are not doing what this book says. And you think to yourself, well, if they only had the Holy Ghost, I believe there's saved people doing this. Why? They've never been taught any different. Who didn't teach them? Us. We've just said, well, preacher, I think we need to throw the Sunday school literature out because we don't have the King James Bible. And, well, you know, the devil's in everything. We can't. We'll just see. But let's table that for a little bit before we get into that. I stand right there when one of them said it. Had three deacons in the church that I preached King James Bible Conference. Another one, they got up there, preached King James Bible Conference 5 nights. Opened their eyes. They come up to the pastor and said, we need to throw this hymn book out. It has the NIV in it. It's wrong. Well, you know, devil get anything, and we don't want to just upset everybody over this. Well, them guys cussed me out Monday night and got right with me on Tuesday night and was wanting to throw them out on Friday night, and he's worried about somebody getting upset. Why don't you worry about his deacons cussing me out? I didn't mind it. I've been called worse. It was Christian cussing, though. It wasn't really bad words, you know. You say, what kind of cousin? They're saying they're offended. You don't say that, do you? Listen to this. When God points something out to the whole church and the pastor don't get it, we need a new pastor. We're not talking about something way out there. He believes in all this crazy aliens business, all that. We're talking about something very basic, the very Bible. The very Bible in our lap. If he's wrong on that, he's going to be wrong everywhere else. And if he won't stand for that, he'll stand for nothing.
That's right.
Listen, Jesus is coming to church. You know, a lot of people never expect this, but there are people right now, and God knows where, saying, Lord, will you send revival to your churches? And I promise you, there's some little old lady somewhere, about 95 years old. She can't do nothing but pray. She's got the very audience with God that you and I think we should have. She's already got it. She figured out something. Just go in and ask according to Scripture and believe it by faith, and God will do whatsoever shall ask. Lord, will you send church? Will you come to our church and straighten it out? And listen, that dead as a doornail, 4 o'clock in the morning thing going on, and up pops somebody getting saved and shows up in that church. Me and Brother Jason went and heard this preacher one time, and he got saved and went back to his Methodist church. He walked in the door and scared him to death. He come in all bushy-headed and everything, looked like he had been on an island for 6 months, with raggedy jeans in there, and the minister got up and said, for today's reading, that guy shouted, preacher, can I say something? Now we talking about Harry Monster over there. Christian caveman. He said, can I say something, preacher? He said, glory to God. I'll say, thank God I'm saved.
Yep.
He said, I grew up here and God saved me out of this place. I don't even know how to begin to tell you where he found me at, because I didn't know he'd be there. But he saved my soul and I want to get baptized and follow him. They told him at church, you're going to take that somewhere else. You're upsetting people. The way you dress and the way you sound, the way you look. We're going to have to get rid of you. You can't do it. You can do it, but you ain't going to do it here, you understand? You know what that was? That was the day Jesus came to church. They said, we don't want you here. We don't want you here. What do you do when you see people like that? Well, if I want them to have better clothes, I guess I better buy them because they probably ain't got no money. If I want them to look like something, I'm probably try to help them a little bit because maybe they're on the rough end of something. But I do know this. When Jesus comes to church, I see what he does and how he does it. I'm glad to report to you that he's still willing to come. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any of them, if they'll open this door, I'll come in. Somebody painted a picture one time with there not being a doorknob there. Discern. On the Lord's side of it. I got news for the painter. If he wanted in, he'd kick the thing in. But why do they want him there? It's because of this. They're carnal-minded, but they want life and peace. You got to be spiritual-minded to get that. Carnal-minded is death.
Yeah.
You got to come to the place where you want him to show up, not only to make sure you don't go to hell, but that he leads your church.
Yeah.
Your church. You're the body. You're here. You're in it. And he said, well, it's the Lord's church. Yeah, and you having circuses for Jesus in it, but you won't let him in. It's time to let the Lord in. Somebody open the door. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.